session number 27322, Reel 4.
Preparing for this, I think you were the first actually invading force since the Romans.
That's right.
Going to Germany. So what sort of preparation, what briefing did you get beforehand? Who briefed you?
Well, we were told we were going to go into this village. Mm-hmm. And that was about it.
Right. And the village was called, do you remember?
Reichwald. No, Reichden. R-E-I-C-H-D-E-N. Reichden. Right. That was the village we were making for. We were in... Well, can I look this up, of course. I didn't know the name. Anyway, we're in this village lined up. Mm-hmm. And why it's clear... Picture Post featured us, and I've still got some bits of it, with a picture of me on it.
Really? So you were in a Picture Post photograph from Reichden.
Mm. That was moving up, that was. Mm. Just the back of me.
Yeah. So what time did this operation start?
Early morning.
Right.
And we moved in. On the way up, we were stonked. The battalion, snipers, and myself, and one other seamer, dived into a dugout by the side of the track. When we popped out, everybody had gone. We saw I had to hang on overnight, because it was getting dark by then. And next morning we saw the battalion met medical carrier moving, so we followed them and got back to our unit, back to the battalion. We had an exciting night. Mm.
So what were you actually doing all night? Were you
shivering a bit, and it was cold, and wondering what we could do. We weren't the only ones, apparently. There were quite a few separated. And we got back in time to join the signal platoon, who with the rest of battalion headquarters were shooting at some Germans who was presumably trying to counter-attack the battalion headquarters. Don't ask me if I hit anything.
Was that the first time you'd actually done much shooting?
Yeah. It was the first time.
Yeah. Difficult to know what you...
Well, half the time you didn't bother. I mean, we lost the signal if we didn't even bother to carry our weapon.
Really?
If we thought we could manage without, because they were in the way. Mm. You know, you needed all your strength to lay this blooming cable.
Mm. When you mentioned before the attack on Reichden, the press turned up, you know. Did you talk to any of them, or was it just the officers that talked?
No, it was mainly the officers at that time.
Yeah. What did you think about them being there?
Sort of thought it was going to be an easy do, as the fact they were there, you know, wouldn't be much of a problem. But in the end, it was a really rough do. We tried to get to our lead company to lay line after they'd moved in. We just couldn't do it. Our signaller attached to the carrier platoon. The carrier platoon got caught by a self-propelled gun, and our signaller got a hell of a battering. He didn't get killed or wounded, but he meant to having to sit in the carrier while all this was going on round him. It was quite a bad experience. So we were there for a week. It rained solid all the week. So we went back, and by that time we were about a foot deep. Down the track we went, it was about a foot deep in mud. Dreadful.
Had you seen anything of the German civilians about?
There were one or two going back, that was all.
Mm. What was their attitude to you, did they?
Nothing. No. They didn't take notice of them, sort of thing. I think we were too done ourselves to take notice of anybody by then. Mm. But I should have said before then, of course, we'd moved again into the American sector, and we'd taken over place called Brunsum in Holland. And we were in Holland then. And, of course, we got a marvellous reception from the Dutch people who took us into their houses. And we stayed with them. That was the first time we'd been in civilian billets since we'd landed.
Really?
Of course, and it was great. Yeah, we made friends. Well, made friends so much that until a few years ago, we were still going back every year to visit them.
You stayed with a family, did you?
Mm.
Yeah. Who were they? Tell me.
Yeah. Mama, Papa, Father had worked in the mines, but he wasn't working because they'd been told to flood the mines, which they'd done. So there was no work going, and therefore no food for him till we got there. And then there was Tony, she was 9. And Rini, he was 5, and he was brain damaged. He'd had a fit when he was just after he was born, and because he was 4, and Mama couldn't get any treatment for him because of the war.
Yeah.
And he was, well, when we right up till recently, he was still 5.
Yeah.
You know, Tony's just died. Mm. She had cancer twice, so.
So they welcomed you in.
Yeah, welcomed
us in. From abroad.
That's right.
To rescue them.
Yeah. And then we stayed in that sector right through till after the Ardennes started up. Because we were been up the line and we'd been told to shoot everything we could to eat or not kill or whatever.
Yeah. Where was this? This was in Holland, was it?
Yeah, it's still at Brunsum.
Yeah.
And we were told to bring it back for the civilians so that we could get a decent Christmas dinner.
And did you manage to shoot things?
Well, we chased pigs around, yeah. Got a pig. But the carriers and trucks were loaded with stuff for them. Yeah. And that time we moved back, and of course, as I said, it had been muddy and wet the whole time, for weeks, and we were all dirty. So the divisional commander said, don't put them into houses, put them into schools and that to clean up. And apparently he was visited next morning by the burgomaster, who said, what have we done? What have we done wrong? He said, we want our lads back. So we were all greeted, in my case, by Tony. She was a 9-year-old. Come to collect me, taking me back home.
They really did want it.
Yeah,
didn't they?
That's right.
Yeah.
And but before Christmas, we were moved. We never went into action in the Ardennes. We were based this side of Liège somewhere. Can't even remember the name of the town. We had we did have a Christmas dinner.
Did you?
Mm.
Were you in a building? Or?
Yeah, in a school or something. And we were all billeted there for a few days. And by New Year, we'd moved into further south. Somewhere not far from Maastricht.
It was cold, wasn't it?
It was cold winter. Cause I can remember the New Year's Day attack on by the German Air Force. I remember planes coming over and hear the ACAC. I woke up to that.
Yeah.
And again, I was in civvy billets.
Yeah. Were they bombing?
Don't know.
Right.
But I mean, they bombed the airfields and apparently they lost a lot of aircraft doing it and knocked some of ours out. But I just remember that. And then we went off for two. I was, me and a couple of others, posted to a divisional school. Can we stop a second?
I'll stop the tape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember the name of the place. And then we sort of went various places round there. It was snowy. Nowhere, we didn't go into action at all. We were out of the line. Should have said we were moving away from Brunsome when we were diverted to wherever we were supposed to be going and sent down to this reserve of the Ardennes. And it was a very, very frosty, cold morning. Bright, cold morning. And I know our trucks were sliding all over the place. Take us there. Anyway, we then went back to Turnhout in northern Belgium, where we hung around a few days to go to do the Roswell Forest attack. Again, we didn't know much about it. We moved up. Do remember it being very wet, the road being flooded. And the other thing I remember is Monty coming past one day with a jeep, in a jeep, and throwing fags out. And still remember that. And we went down. We were at one place. We must have gone through Cleve. I remember this big town that we moved through and all been bombed. And then we were going down to one day. We were by a little hamlet, a couple of farms. And we tried a clever trick that we decided we would lay cable from the back of a motorbike with a normal third of a mile drum because the road was under fire somewhere along the road, and we thought we'd had a matter of what, we'd manage it. What we didn't do was check that the cable was free on the reel first, so they didn't trust a dispatch rider. So one of my friends, the Black Country lad, Bill, I think his name was, drove the bike, and I sat on the back. And he shot off down the road, and I immediately went off, fell off behind him, because it didn't work. And we moved down there, from there, and we were outside Goch, G-O-C-H, Goch. We were outside Goch when we were doing, everything was being, by then we were using line all the time. And we spent a couple of fairly horrible days laying line and trying to keep the line open. Sergeant and Dozy Denby both got immediate MMs for it because they'd been out for something like 24 hours.
Right. So were they doing what you were doing, or was it...
They were doing lines to the lead, to the forward companies, and we were just doing lines to things like the mortar platoon and that kind of thing. No,
they must have had a difficult job. If they got
Jimmy took it on it, took it himself to do that job.
Yeah. Mm. Did he talk about it when he came back? How difficult?
No. We knew it had been very difficult because they wouldn't have been out that long if they could have got it mended once and came in. You know, being broken one end. I should have mentioned there was an bit of an interval after Christmas. Yeah, it was important to me because we moved back when another units were doing an attack, and we went back not far from Royston. By then it was quiet, reasonably quiet, and it all snowed like mad. This must have been early January, after we'd been in Holland. And I know I tried to follow a line then, and fell up to me neck in a shell hole, because the snow was like, it was about 2 foot deep. And I know they popped me back, and I got back to this, where the signal platoon, when they wrapped me up and warmed me up, tried to get me warm again. Then we went down, we were down by Gok. Okay, we had a bit of a break there, and I was posted then to a company, ordinary company, as a signal operator, with a chap named Dick Panagi, who'd been in the Merchant Navy and then in the Army. And he looked after me. He was great, he was. And we went down till we actually got to the banks of the Rhine. Again, I can't remember which place it was. But I know we had a very comfortable place in the cellar there for our radios and that.
Were you busy with messages, you know, once you were set
up? Yes, it was going on pretty well all the time.
What sorts of things would the messages be?
Anything. Rations, anything. More routine company admin stuff. A lot of it, just go and fetch the officer and say, you want it on the phone? By then, good half hour kit, of course, was German. Because
really?
The German phones were better. I had an awkward, very delicate buzzer on them, which you had to adjust. They always went off. Where the Germans just had a generator, just got a handle. They made more noise when they rang, but we said that was... And they were all Bakelite, of course. Bakelite boxes. But they worked, and that's what we liked about it.
So you would take over a German phone and...
Well, if we found one, we'd use it.
Just use it.
Mm. What we didn't like was the German cable.
Really?
Yeah, because it was modern plastic-coated stuff, hard plastic-coated stuff. I've realised since. It was dreadful to try and cut.
Yeah.
And to scrape the insulation up with the usual blunt army knife. Yeah, so we got to the banks of the Rhine. Then we did go back for quite a rest, back to a place called Genep, on the border, well, not far from the border. And we practiced. We were given assault boats, ordinary infantry assault boats, to play with, literally, either on the Maas. Or fields were flooded, we could use them on there. We were told to acclimatise ourselves to them. So we had a great, about a week, we had a great, turned ourselves into all sorts of boatmen. And we had concert parties. I'm not sure who we had, but we had a very famous French singer. I suspect it may have been Josephine Bradley, but I'm not sure now. But of course, anything like that, the officers all grabbed anyway, immediately after the thing was over. And then, of course, the next thing we saw was the gliders going over, Dakotas and gliders going over, when the crossing the Rhine started.
Had you seen gliders before?
Only on the ground. Yes, we'd seen a bit of them, and seen them on the ground, lots of them on the ground, particularly up around Grosbeek and that area. This is where our lads have got most of their things from, out the gliders. Yeah, we saw them being towed. And
so seeing them going in there must have been quite an impressive sight.
Yeah, and the odd Dakota coming back with a parachute with a bloke on the end, stuck on the tail wheel, this kind of thing. Yes. When we crossed, we went over one of the bridges about 24 hours later, maybe a bit longer. I think probably two nights. Mm. Don't think it was the first night. I think it was the second night we went over.
Yeah.
Mm. One of my uncles, was stuck in the middle of the bridge. He knew the Worcesters were coming over and he was looking for me. But it was pitch black, so he never saw me. He was in the engineer.
Right. So you went over the Rhine.
And we did. Did an attack on the unfinished Autobahn. Advancing through German, what had been German Akak positions, which is where I had a hiccup. I'd had enough, realised since, and I broke down.
Nice.
Didn't last.
Had you known that was coming on?
No,
were you
no indication at all. Oh. And we were coming out of rest.
Yeah.
We were not coming out, it hadn't been in action for a long time or anything. Mm. No.
And what happened? Did you...
Just couldn't get out. I was in a trench. It was German Akak, but it was a deep trench. I just couldn't get out. Just couldn't.
Yeah. And what happened then? Someone noticed this, obviously.
Yes, they noticed I was missing and they sent a corporal to get me and I said, I'm still okay now. And anyway, by evening he managed to persuade me. So I went back and next day, of course, they replaced me. And we were back, clear, and a couple of days I was fine.
Right, so you didn't get sent to the dock, or?
Don't remember doing that. I probably asked the doc what to do. He probably said, leave him alone, he'll be all right after a couple of days. Could have been all right up to then, you know, just one of those things.
They do say that the most difficult thing is going back into battle.
Could be.
Sounds as though
that's right.
You'd had a rest, you see, and you suddenly think, I don't want to go back.
Yeah. But it's fine.
Did you have any physical symptoms?
Only shaking there.
Right.
I'd had a bit of shakes during the Blitz, and I think that came back to me. The noise came back to me. I've always been noise sensitive. I think it was a noise, and also the chap I was with, it wasn't his usual mate, and I think he resented that anyway. I'm not sure they should really have done it like that. We'd probably put two of us together. We'd probably been all right. Might have been all right. Anyway, they put me with the carrier platoon, and I was fine. Till I came on, and I went with the carriers till I came on leave.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, I got the usual nickname off the carriers, Marconi, which apparently they call all their signals, but Marconi. And I stayed with them as we advanced into Germany.
Yeah. Did you get much opposition then?
A fair amount.
Mm.
We went north, so we went up into Holland. First, and came out at a place called Hengelo.
Yeah.
And we took a town. God. Starts with an H. And from where I went on leave.
Right.
Came home on leave.
And what sort of date was that?
March.
Right.
That was March. I should know the name. Remember that I've just gone for the moment. I've got a swastika armband from it, which I issued to myself. Went into the town hall and put the town stamp on it. And there was a pile of them. in the desk. I just helped myself to one. Because I had... They rang up at lunch about midday and said, you're going on leave tomorrow. So I had the afternoon to scrounge around. I scrounged around the houses looking for stuff to bring home. Got about 100 German model soldiers for a start. Which had been... Because the house... Hazelluna, that's the name of the town. Hazelluna. Hazelluna. It wasn't badly knocked about. It had been shelled a bit, but not very much.
But the civilian population...
The civilian population had obviously been taken out in that time. Well, they might have been around, but... Mm. And I came home on leave.
Right.
When I went back, it was entirely different.
Right.
The war had changed.
Stop there. Dennis Keane, end of Reel 4...